When Jesus was traveling around laying hands on the sick, what spirit was in Jesus? The Holy Spirit. And what spirit did Jesus have? He had the Spirit of Christ, didn't he? Didn't he? He had the Spirit of Christ. That was Jesus' spirit, the Spirit of Christ. Okay, and the Holy Spirit indwelled him. What spirit do you have? Colossians 1:27 says, Christ is in you. This is how I receive my healing from God. I say, Lord, Jesus is in me. He's a healer. He lives in me. Do you believe Jesus lives in you? I'm going, oh, Lord, don't let me get away from my message. If you believe that Jesus lives in you, you really believe it? If you really believe it, it'll change your whole life. That's the whole key to Paul's gospel. He keeps breaking it down over and over again, and he comes back to, Christ is in you. It's the hope of glory, the hope of change, the hope of a new day. Who's coming back for us one day? Jesus Christ, right? Who's going to sit on the throne in Jerusalem? Jesus Christ, the Christ, the Messiah, right? Who lives in you? Jesus. I won't preach it, Lord, but in Colossians 2, it says that all the fullness of the deity bodily, it lived in Jesus. Now think about this. This is the Bible. It's not some new age, teaching. This is the Word of God. Look it up. It says all the fullness of God lives in Jesus in a body, and it says you are complete or you are full in Him. You got completeness in Him. We don't know it. What happened was man fell. Man fell. We were connected to God. Adam had the Spirit of God in him. Did you know that? It says that Adam was the Son of God. Not in the sense that Jesus was, but he had the Spirit of God in him. Adam was created in the image of God. That's what the Bible says. And when Adam sinned, that image was marred. The connection to God was severed, and man fell into himself. That's why you're so self-conscious. Teenagers, that's why you're so self-conscious. Because man, when he fell, we know something's wrong with us. Can't look each other in the eye. We gossip about each other. We desire bad things. We get in trouble because we fell. Something fundamental happened when man fell. He was disconnected to God. And God's great plan was to reconnect us through Christ. Now, I have another question. Are you logical? Did God reconnect us to himself through Jesus? It is your faith in that. When you believe that, that's when things begin to change in your life. That's when the fruit of the gospel, Paul said that the fruit of the gospel is born when you believe it. Not when you feel like it's true, not when you imagine it's true, but when you believe it, the fruit of the gospel. God, we are a tripartite being. Say tripartite, just because it sounds good. That means three-dimensional, spirit, soul, and body. God does an inside-out work in our lives. He starts with recreating, or one guy said, born again, your human spirit. You're born again. You become the temple of God. Fundamentally, when you become the temple of God, your mind has not changed. You're the same person that you ever were. Sometimes when I got saved, and I've shared this, God blasted out like 1,000 demons out of me. Anybody else experienced that? Not everybody experiences that. Some people, Gary, you, Charlie, 1,001 maybe. Probably two, one or two. I mean, I was just like the demoniac from the Gadarenes. I had so many things wrong with me. And by God's grace, and not everybody experiences it this way, but God blasted out so many things out of my life, but I still had the mind and everything that I was raised with. And then, but because God made such a fundamental difference in my life, I was hungry for God. You know, the Bible says to believers, this isn't for unbelievers or people that don't know God. He says, ask, seek, and knock. Doesn't he say that? That's for believers. He says, ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking. You have to believe, folks, there is so much more to following Jesus than you know. If you're not, and we're not bearing fruit, and we're not changing, we're missing the dynamic connection. I fear sometimes that it's religion. We settle for religion. If we shuffle into church and shuffle out, we basically do pretty good. We may be depressed and despondent, and who knows what else is going on in our life. but we think we're doing good. But that's not God's agenda. God's agenda was to put Jesus in you, put the Spirit back in you, reconnect you to Himself. That is called redemption. That means that you are bought back. You've been bought by the precious blood of Jesus. Mike, when I struggle and I don't feel worthy or I don't feel like I can go into God's presence, I think last night, you know, I did this before I started praying. I always say, Father, I come to you through the blood of Jesus. Why? Why would someone say something so barbaric that I come to you through the blood? Because Jesus' blood is what makes me right with God. Did you know that the life is in your blood? If you lose your blood, you lose your life. Jesus' life was in His blood. And so when He spilt His blood, He gave His life. He did it for you. So if I go before God in that blood, I'm going in the life of Jesus. And now God can look at me without guilt. This is not my message. Without sin, He can look at me and He sees me unstained, untarnished. It has nothing to do with my works. And doing good works is important. And living a holy life is important. But that is not how I come into the presence of God. If I rely on that, I will never feel like I've done enough. I will never feel like I'm good enough. I will never feel like I'm free enough. And I won't be able to get in the presence of God. And what's the one thing that I need to do? Get in the presence of God. So I go through the blood and say, Father, I know that you received me because Jesus spilled His blood. You gave it away, Lord, that you love me. You can't hide it anymore. I know that you love me because Jesus spilled His blood for me. So, Father, I'm coming in His name. And I'm coming through His life, which was spilled out in His blood. And I know God will hear me. I know that He'll hear me. Sometimes I got to do business with the Lord. Lord, I'm sorry for what I said to Pam. He'll say, go tell her. I go, okay, I'll be right back, Lord. Pam, I'm sorry. I was wrong. Please forgive me. Amen? And I go back and I say, well, the Bible says if you come to the temple and someone has aught against you, leave your gift at the temple, go make it right, and then come back. So I said, if God tells me I need to make something right, Jeff, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Please forgive me. Right? I was wrong. Then I go back. So I don't want anything hindering my connection with God. God is so fundamentally concerned about your relationships with people. That teaching on forgiveness He gave. He is so concerned how you get along with your family. He's so concerned how you get along with one another. He's so concerned about how you talk to one another. God is a relationship God. He cares about your marriage relationship. He cares about your friendships. He wants you to be a relational expert. He wants you to be better than Oprah, if she's any good at all. He wants you to be better, Dr. Phil, is that his name? He wants you to be better than Dr. Phil or Phil Donahue. He wants you to be, when people see you, they should see a relational expert. You know how to get along with people because Jesus is in you. The Holy Spirit is in you, and He's teaching you how to live His life. So God wants us to be in relationship horizontally with others. Get those things right, and that relationship comes from our vertical relationship, and we always have access through the blood of Jesus and the name. So I go to God, and I go through Jesus, and I share my needs with God, and God talks. Do you know how many people, when they hear from God, a lot of times it sounds like accusation? Be honest. Anybody? It just sounds like accusation. You go to pray, and accusation, accusation, accusation. Anybody? I guess I'm the only one because I've had times in my life. Now, I got a few head shakes. I've had times in my life, Pam. I've had times in my life I go to God and I just feel that is not the Lord. That's like the second heaven. You're trying to get through to God and all these things are trying to prevent you, accusations and guilt and condemnation. When I break through by faith through the blood of Jesus to God, He's always encouraging me. He's always telling me, Brad, I sent you up there to Utica. I sent you there. He always tells me, Brad, I'm with you. He sent me a person today to give me a word, to encourage me. And they just hit it right on. They hit it right on. When I break through to God's voice, He never seems like He wants to condemn me. Now, I know God will convict me. He'll tell me when I do wrong. It don't take much. The Spirit of God is in you. If you're saved and born again, it don't take much for the Lord to convict you because His Spirit's in you. You know right away when you said something you shouldn't say if you're a believer. And the best thing to do is not argue and fight about it. Just make it right. Someone say amen. Amen. Just go make it right. Quit fighting with God. Quit fighting with everybody. Just go make it right. You'll feel better. But the Lord is always reassuring me because we live in sometimes a pretty negative world. That's why we get depressed. That's why we get beat down. You know, if our bodies will beat us down, our minds will beat us down. Folks, God is not the one that's hindering you. He's not the one holding you back. He wants you to come into His presence. In God's mind, in God's economy, how God looks, you are a new creation. That old person that you used to be is gone. In God's mind, He doesn't see that Adamic nature. He doesn't see that old you. What God sees when He looks at you is He sees His Son and He sees a new creation. So He's like, yeah, I know about that, but I want to tell you what I see when I see you. I see a world changer. I see a world beater. I see someone that can rise up and make a difference in people's life. I see a person of compassion. I see a prophet. I see a missionary. I see an entrepreneur. I see a giver. I see a lover. I see a forgiver. When I look at you, I don't see what you see. When you look in the mirror, you're looking after. Paul said, I came to you. He said, I didn't even look at you in the flesh. I was determined not to know anything among you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen. Now, why is that? Why Jesus Christ and Him crucified? Because that old creation you used to be, that old man you used to be, that old sinful self you used to be is dead and buried and history. And Paul said, I don't even want to look at that anymore. I wish I could turn my eyes off to the old creation. And when I look out, just see you in Christ. Wouldn't that be a beautiful picture? The problem is we too often see ourselves in the flesh, or we too often see ourselves and others in the flesh. If I looked at everybody according to the flesh, I would never be able to receive from anybody else. I'd always see their faults and their failures. God doesn't look that way when He sees you. He sees a new creation. Do you know, and this is just a microcosm of my message, do you know, even when God brought judgment in the Old Testament and even through the New Testament, every time God brought judgment, He brought judgment because things had come to their logical end. There is a law of entropy. The law of entropy means everything is decaying. Everything is going down. The Bible talks about the law of sin and death. You sin and you die. When things wind down to their logical conclusion, when your life of sin winds down to its logical conclusion, it brings death. And when God in the Old Testament brought judgment, He would do everything He could not to bring judgment. He would send prophets to warn people. He would send preachers before Noah, before the flood. The Bible says that every imagination of man's heart was evil. And before God sent judgment, the Bible says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He preached to his generation. God will send prophets. God will send preachers. God will send warning. But the trouble was, if humanity continued going on the way it was going, what would have happened when Noah was gone? There would not have been a righteous man left on the earth. The earth would have been swallowed up in wickedness. Eventually, judgment would have come, and there would have been no Jesus Christ. There would have been no death on the cross. There would have been no forgiveness, and everyone that was ever born would have spent an eternity away from God. Do you ever think about that? You ever think about that? If God would have brought judgment and there was no Noah, there'd be no salvation. Jesus Christ had to be brought into the earth. The reason God judged back then is the whole world was evil continually, the Bible says. Do you think God wanted to bring judgment on His creation? It said it grieved Him that He made man. It grieved Him. When God looks out in our world and sees evil and deception and lying and selfishness and all the evils in our world, it grieves Him. He doesn't rejoice in judgment. The Word says that mercy rejoices against judgment. God stretches out His hands all day long, but there comes a time when entropy takes over and there's no recourse. There's nothing that can happen. God has to bring judgment. But even in His judgment, there's mercy. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. All those people that died, that were going to be consigned to hell because they would never be able to be forgiven, because Jesus would never be able to die, were spared because Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Even Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham was interceding and praying for Sodom and Gomorrah, a very wicked cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham said, hey, if you can find 50 or 40, then 30, then 20, then 10. Hey, if you can find anybody righteous in this city, will you spare the city? God said, yeah, I will. And he couldn't find one righteous person. Not one. And he had to bring judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. He had to bring judgment. There's a day when this earth will be judged in righteousness. When it all concludes, when the mystery of iniquity is finally finished, when this battle of the ages is finally finished and Christ comes to sit on his throne, and this world will be judged in righteousness. But the Bible says that God is patient and he's long-suffering. Get this. He's not willing that one person would perish. Everything in his plan is to save. His judgment comes as a final act of necessity. I've been talking to this guy that he has a beef against God. And I said, your problem is you won't let God be God. You won't let God be God. God's a judge. He created us. He knows what we're supposed to be like. He knows what he wants out of our life. God is a judge, and you won't let him be judge. You won't let him be God. But I'm telling you, God will be God. You won't sit in judgment of God on judgment day. You hear those people on the internet that attack God and say things about God and why is there evil? And I guarantee you on judgment day, you won't be bringing God into judgment. This righteous, holy God will be bringing you into judgment, and he's going to analyze you. And you better have Jesus. You think about your own life, kids. You better have Jesus. I know how I am and how I was, and I ain't leaving home without him. I ain't leaving this world without. If you think you can stand before God, but God is a righteous, holy God, but he's a God of mercy. In all his judgments. That's why the Bible talks about beauty for ashes. Beauty for ashes. When there's destruction and judgment, God is a creative God. He's a good God. Even in our lives, when we mess it up, and I've messed my life up 100 times, when I mess it up, when it's all over, I remember in my mid-40s when I got a DUI and I almost lost my job and I was in trouble. My life was out of control. When I was on my back like a turtle and I had judgment in my life, I remember God coming to me as a father and saying, Brad, we'll get through this. I'm not condemning you. You earned it. You earned this trouble you're in. God said, I warned you, and he did warn me. I warned you, you were going the wrong way. You know how, and he came to me as a father and said, Brad, trust me. I remember praying and crying out to God, and I prayed for 3 hours. I was a mess, and I was praying to God, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, don't pray anymore. I've got it. An hour, maybe 2 hours later, my boss called and said, you get to keep your job. You get to keep your job. And he said, we'll deal with it. Just like God told me, we'll work through it. Hallelujah. When you're a layman, someone say hallelujah. I'm preaching to you. You get it. You know what? God will bring beauty out of ashes. Even in your destruction, even in your judgment, even in your trials, God will bring beauty out of there if you'll let him. Your life of sin, if you're living in sin, will take its course. And those wages will bring death. But even then, God will stretch out his hand. If you're a believer and you're following God, God wants you to be that preacher of righteousness like Noah. He wants you to be that interceder like Abraham. He wants you praying for your neighbor like Abraham prayed for Sodom and Gomorrah. He wants you preaching and declaring righteousness to your friends and family, just like Noah did. That's our role as believers. God wants us to be fruit-bearing. He wants to see our lives change. God wants to see the fruit of Jesus Christ working in your life. I don't have time to go there. In Matthew chapter 23, right before Jesus is talking about the end of the world and the final judgment and the apocalypse that's going to happen, Jesus walks up on a hill in Jerusalem, and he's sitting on that hill. Now, this is God, and Jesus knows that they're going to reject him. He knows that, and he's standing up on that hill, and he's looking out over Jerusalem, and he weeps, and he laments for the city, because he knows that judgment is coming. And what was his attitude? What was his heart toward these people that are going to be judged? What was his heart? He said, how many times, like a mother hen wanted to grab its brood and gather them together, I wanted to gather you. I wanted to bring you in. Jesus is God in the flesh. That is God's heart before judgment. I want to save you. I want to bring you in the ark. I want to make something new out of your life. I want to take the destruction in your life and bring beauty out of it. And he said, but you would not. He said, you wouldn't let me. God's heart is not judgment. God's heart is not condemnation. His heart towards you is Jesus. He wants to bring you in. I remember I had a dream. It all goes back to, I use the word tripartite today. There's a word called theodicy. It's the study of evil. Some people get really hung up. Why is there evil in the world? And they get really hung up on that. And, you know, as a thinking person, I think about stuff. I say, God, you know, why? What's going on? Can you explain to me this thing with evil? Sometimes I don't get it. Why do bad things happen to good people? And they do. And I had a dream, and I know the Lord spoke to me. And in my dream, I was walking down a street, and there was a fire station. There were firemen out there. And I think it was Manu, and I had my cat, which, you know, I can't tell you how many cats we have. It's embarrassing, truly. It really is embarrassing. We don't find them. They find us. That's the truth. I think people are letting them loose on our property. I really do. But I had this dream about Manu, and I was holding Manu in my arms, and I had him protected and safe, and he's there. And all of a sudden, two lions jump out from behind the street, and they're growling. And as long as Manu is with me, he's safe. I don't know why. I wasn't afraid of the lions, and so I'm holding on to Manu. And that silly cat jumped out of my hands. And in my dream, I was horrified. And I'm like, Manu, Manu. And Manu takes off, and he actually runs down the street right by those lions. And I'm reaching out my hands saying, Manu, Manu. And I can't do anything. I'm not going to be able to get to him in time. And just right before I woke up, those lions took my cat, and with one swipe, woo, he went in the air. And just before I saw the worst of it, I woke up. And my heart was pounding. Just like boom, 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 like Manu, you know. And the Lord explained to me about humanity. He says, Brad, that's humanity. When Adam was in my bosom, when he was following me, he was protected and he was safe. And when any person is in my bosom and they're in my care, they are ultimately safe from the evil one. I've got them. He says, but what people do, they jump out of my care. And they run, and the Bible says Satan is like a roaring lion. For the believer, he's like one. For the unbeliever, he is one. And they run out, and they play, and they think they can handle it, and they are victims of an evil and a suffering world. And God says, Brad, if people will come to me, Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He says, I will protect humanity. And even then, even in any suffering, I'm going to make sense out of it, and I'll bring beauty for ashes in their life. I got it. I saw it. That my cat, I could not save my cat because it chose to jump out of my care. And I had a real revelation of mankind. It started with Adam when Adam fell, and it's gone on to this day. One day, God is going to shut the books on humanity, and we're all going to stand before God. Believer, good news. There is no condemnation in Christ. If you love Jesus, you're following the Lord, you've been saved, you're going to stand before God. There's no condemnation to you that are in Christ. Bible, we're going to stand at the Bema seat of Christ, and he's going to judge us based on what we did with what he gave us. But we're truly saved by grace. He'll judge us. there's going to be another judgment. And that's the judgment where Christ is going to bring out the sheep and the goats, and there's going to be a judgment, and God is going to judge people. He's going to get the books out, and he's going to judge them by their works. And they're going to stand before God, and he's going to separate people out. And if you haven't made Jesus your Lord, or you've walked away from God, you will stand before God. It is God's heart for you that you would surrender now. It's God's heart for you that you'd repent. You know there's a God because God put it in your heart. You already know there's a God. He showed it to you. The Bible says that clearly. You already know you've sinned. Every person in this world, even the greatest atheists, know that they've sinned. They don't know what to do with morality. They know there's good and evil. Everyone does, and everyone knows they've sinned. God has put that witness in us. And I believe when you preach the gospel, the Holy Spirit bears witness that that's the truth, that Jesus died for your sins. There's no excuse for any person in this room to spend an eternity away from God. Not one. I'll go one step further, Christian. There's no excuse for us not to bear fruit for God. God said, I've done the work. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord, today is the day of your salvation. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 7, he said, now is the day. It's chapter 6. Now is the day of salvation. Right now, now is the day of salvation. If you're here, every eye closed, every head bowed, if you don't know the Lord and you want to give your life to the Lord and you're willing to make a public declaration today, I'm serious. If you're not right with God, I want to see your hand this morning. You want to give your life to the Lord, don't play with it. Say, Brother Brad, I don't know if I died, if I go to heaven, and I want to give my life to the Lord. And you want to give your life to the Lord this morning. I need to see your hand. I want to pray for you. I know there's some here. Please consider what I'm telling you. You know you've sinned. You know things aren't right in your life. The Holy Spirit would just speak right to you what you're doing wrong. You need to make it right with the Lord. I'm always available for you to come talk to. And Christian, I'm not going to call Christians to repentance, but I want you to believe the gospel. If you're not walking and following Jesus, now's a good time to repent and just tell the Lord, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to be in your perfect will. I want to be a fruit-bearing Christian. One last time, if you're here and don't know the Lord, I'm not going to belabor. If that's you, would you raise your hand? You want to know the Lord. I want to see your hand. I don't see any hands. Father, I pray for this congregation, God. I pray that you continue, Lord, to use this church. Thank you for the encouraging words today, Lord, in people's lives. God, thank you for the freedom that Jesus is bringing everywhere he goes. I pray for anyone that doesn't know you, Lord, that you will not leave them alone, Lord. That the gospel will follow them and they'll know that you love them and you want things to be right in their life. You want forgiveness. You want fruitfulness in their life, Father. Lord, bless the church as we go today. Lord, we love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.